This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Robert Rodriguez, is the director of the new film Desperado. Part action film, part action spoof, it stars Antonio Banderas as a mariachi who travels with a guitar case full of weapons. He can no longer play the guitar because he was shot through the hand by the same villains who killed his lover, and now the mariachi is out for revenge. Desperado is the sequel to Rodriguez's first feature film, El Mariachi, which was shot for a total of $7,000. Even Rodriguez was surprised when Columbia Pictures picked up El Mariachi and distributed it to theaters. Desperado cost $7 million, huge by comparison, but small by Hollywood standards. Before we talk, let's hear a scene from Desperado. The mariachi's best friend, played by Steve Buscemi, is trying to convince the mariachi that it's time to give up.
Now you're gonna have every hitman in Coahuila looking for you.
Things got out of hand. Couldn't avoid it.
Oh, but I told you, no more bloodbaths.
I told you, Bucho is the last one. After him, I'm finished.
No, I'm finished. They killed the woman you loved. Okay, then they shot through your hand. 2 points. Hey, wake up. There is no payback for that. Walk away. Trust me. This is one you're not going to want to see through to the end.
What do you mean?
Let's just say I've done some checking around and Bucho was not someone you want to mess with. Trust me on this.
I cannot live without Bucho.
You don't expect to live much longer? Fine. I do. Wait. Seriously. You need any more help? Wait. Don't call me. Call your friends Campa and Kino. They're crazy anyway.
No, but I should be able to count on you. On you.
Those days are gone.
Wait, come on.
Good luck. Don't get shot.
Desperado is in a way a commentary on how action films create myths. The film opens with Steve Buscemi creating the myth of the desperado. Buscemi walks into a seedy bar in a small Mexican border town. A bunch of tough-looking big guys are drinking at a table. Buscemi, who is physically slight by comparison, tells them this long, incredible story about a man with a guitar case full of weapons who is invincible and headed this way. This scene sets up the ironic tone of the film. I asked director Robert Rodriguez how he came up with that opening scene.
I always liked James Bond kind of openings to introduce a character into a movie. And I had met Steve Buscemi, actually, at the screening of Mariachi in Toronto, where I met him and Quentin Tarantino. They were there with Reservoir Dogs, and we were kind of contemporaries at the time. And he saw Mariachi, and he said, "Wow, if you ever have a movie, I'd like to be in it. I like your work." And so I wrote down his name. I was so flattered that he even mentioned anything like that. So I went home and I wrote the part for him in a couple of hours. I wrote it. He gave me a short film of his called What Happened to Pete, where he walks into a bar and he's saying all kinds of crazy stuff. He's like a really strange character. And I thought that would be a really fun way to introduce him into the movie and introduce the character, was to have Steve Buscemi walk into a bar in Mexico and tell this long myth and build up in just a few minutes what the audience was going to see throughout the rest of the picture, build up the ironic tone, show them exactly what kind of over-the-top action was going to be taking place, so that it wouldn't become a surprise later on. People would know what they're in for from the beginning.
Yeah, the main character in Desperado is always getting shot up, and then he has like lots of knives thrown into his body.
It's a pincushion.
Yeah, and of course he's always recovering really quickly and is back and ready for more action.
Definitely.
It in a way reminds me of all the Westerns I've seen where the hero seems to be shot in the heart, but in the final scene, he's there with his arm in a sling.
Right, exactly. Everybody else, they get shot in the shoulder and they're dead.
Yeah, right.
but him, he can take it in most, you know, the closer to the heart, the better. You want the audience to think he's down for the count, but of course he comes back because he has a purpose to live for. The other ones don't.
Now, I'm interested in hearing about your approach to shooting the violent scenes. I mean, you have Antonio Banderas do some really, you know, impossible scenes. There's a scene where he's trying to escape from the bad guys and he has to jump from one rooftop to another, and there's this huge expanse between them. Yeah, and he jumps backwards and somersaults, you know, from one rooftop to the other.
Any other action hero in America would have jumped straight up. I wanted ours because I grew up liking action movies but never seeing any Latin action heroes. I thought, I want to make a Latin action hero who can top all those guys. And he won't jump forward, he'll jump backwards. And the actor will do the stunt himself, which nobody does, so that was a main concern of mine.
So Antonio Banderas did the stunt himself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did 100% of his stunts, which they never do in the States. And that's what I love about Hong Kong films, is you see guys like Jackie Chan do his own stunts, and the stunt doesn't even have to be that grand. It's just the fact that you see him doing it, you realize, this guy's for real. This guy's a true hero. He's not just paying someone to take his place. He's doing the thing himself, so you believe in the character more.
Compare how you shot the action scenes in the $7,000 film El Mariachi and in the $7 million film Desperado.
In the $7,000 film, I was very economical about it, of course. I knew I would be selling the movie to the action Spanish home video distributors, and that they would probably only watch the first 30 minutes of the movie to get a sense of it. So I decided to put most of the action in the first 30 minutes. And our biggest stunt, where he slides and hits a bus, happens at the 30-minute mark. Because I figure after that, they'd probably turn the movie off and decide whether or not they're going to buy it. So economically, I kind of packed all the action in the beginning and then let him kind of figure out his life for the second half. And the action was more stuff that has production value for a low-budget movie but doesn't cost anything. I mean, some of the best action stuff is just him running through a hotel, running up some steps, cutting back and forth between him and the bad guys, getting closer and closer, and it builds up to the huge stunt in the movie, which is him on a cable and a little pulley sliding and hitting a school bus and then landing on the school bus and driving away on the bus. And the way we shot that, mainly, if you watch the movie closely, it was just in cuts to keep it from being dangerous and to keep the flow of action going. Where in Desperado, I was able to do a lot of stuff in single takes. And because we had stuntmen that were working alongside Antonio that could jump from a high building and land straight into the ground without a net and that kind of stuff. So I got to make bigger action and bigger stunts and more of it in Desperado. And that's really what I wanted to focus on, was really make an action, a Latin action hero, just as strong as the Arnold movies and the Bruce Willis movies. And just, if nothing else, just so it'd be in the history books as finally being made.
Now, where'd you get the guns from for El Mariachi?
The first El Mariachi?
Yeah.
Oh, we got them from the police officers in town. They lent us their guns. Most of them, two of them were automatics. One was an Uzi, and the other one was a MAC-10. And these have barrel extensions on them. So what we would do is we would remove the barrel extension to make it look like a different gun. So in one given scene, you'll have five guys with guns, and they're all using the same two guns. We just, after one guy gets killed, we take the gun, take the barrel off, and hand it to another guy. We also had some plastic water pistols that, if you look real close, you'll notice they're smaller than the other guns, and they're a little too black and plasticky looking. And it was mostly just tricks, the same two or three guns used over and over.
Well, water guns, that's a pretty good trick.
Yeah, as long as you show them shooting with a real gun, then you can hand them a water gun for the rest of the scene. That was a trick that worked pretty well.
Now, there's something, you have a book about the making of El Mariachi called Rebel Without a Crew, and you described something called the guacamole gun. What was that?
Oh, that was something we used in Desperado. There's just so many Hollywood methods that are too time-consuming, too expensive, and they've just turned into bad habits. And when it comes time to dispatch someone, usually you have to hand it over to the special effects guy who goes over and builds squibs and electronic explosives and place them all over the actor's body, and they're usually dangerous and don't look very good. So we came up with something else called the guacamole gun, which my effects guy Bob Shelley designed, which was it's like an air gun with a tube that fires the blood out of the tube so that it hits the actor wherever you want him to. So rather the blood come out of the person, it goes onto the person, and it looks a little bit too good. The MPAA cut a lot of it out.
Oh, really?
It looked very good. And it was fast. I mean, we got to shoot this guy and we got to keep filming, because we had to film Desperado very quickly because we didn't have a big Hollywood budget for it. We had to try and compete with the other summer action movies, but with a 1/10 of the cost sometimes. So we moved very quickly and we needed something like the guacamole gun to get through the shots faster.
So it was too gory for the MPAA, huh?
It looked
too
real.
The Motion Picture Association?
Yeah, it just looked real. It looked like somebody's head was exploding or something. They didn't know how he did it.
So what are some of the other differences between working with a $7,000 and $7 million budget?
The difference, one, in the $7,000 version, you do everything yourself. I mean, I was the entire crew. I was the sound guy. I was the camera guy. I was the editor. I was everything. But that was a lot of fun. It's almost, if you've ever played with a video camera, you know that you don't really need a sound man because it's built in. You don't need a DP because it has automatic exposure. And so I got used to making movies like that for so many years. I was used to not having anyone around but the actor, and it was more comfortable with the actors because they didn't have a bunch of eyeballs looking at them while they were acting. So when I picked up my first film camera and I read that you needed all these people, I didn't see the point. So I went ahead and tried to shoot mariachi the same way I would shoot a documentary. And it worked fine. You was almost like making a documentary, a fictional documentary, just running around grabbing shots, and you get to maintain a lot of energy. If you need to cross the street to get a shot, it's not a big production move. You just cross the street and get your shot. What happens on a $7 million movie is you got bigger equipment, heavier equipment, bigger lights, bigger actors, bigger everything. So if you want to move across the street, suddenly it's a big deal. And so to maintain the fast movement that adds energy to the film, I had a much smaller crew. Unfortunately, because of the contracts the studio has with SAG, I wasn't able to put in the final credits how many of my crew people were also actors and main actors in the movie. We had all my crew was in the movie in some point or another, had substantial roles in the picture, so that everyone kind of got excited about making the movie really homegrown manner, getting to act in the movie and really being part of the whole filmmaking process.
You cast Antonio Banderas in the leading role as as the desperado. And I think Americans, he's Spanish. I think Americans know him best from, Pedro Almodovar's Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, and Philadelphia, and the Mambo Kings.
Right.
Now, what did you do when you shot him to help make him look like an action hero and to help make him look mythic?
I just shot him. He already does that on his own. I just put the camera in places that help facilitate that. I mean, you're not really creating anything out of him. He was always like that. I just can't imagine why he's never looked like this on the screen. They must have just been setting the camera back really far. I don't know. I shoot differently than most people. I actually operate my own camera. And I think that puts me more in the middle of the action and right up there close. So as I'm directing, I'm right there next to the actor directing, but the camera's in my hand, so that's why there's so many close-ups, because I end up getting closer and closer to the actor to talk to him, and the camera ends up being 2 inches away from their face. But being that close to them, the audience feels like they're in the middle of the action rather than off to the side. I think if I started directing the way some directors do, where you sit behind a monitor watching the action, I think the cameras would start falling back also, and you're more observing rather than being with the actor. You're just observing the actor from a distance. And I kind of like being right there in front center.
If you're just joining us, my guest is director Robert Rodriguez. He directed the new film Desperado and the film El Mariachi, and he has a new book about the making of El Mariachi called Rebel Without a Crew. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Robert Rodriguez, director of the new film Desperado and the previous film El Mariachi. Both Desperado and El Mariachi were shot in a Mexican border town. How did you choose the town?
The town chose me. I was going to school in San Antonio, Texas, a boarding school, a junior seminary, actually. And I met a friend of mine by the name of Carlos Gallardo there. He was from Mexico, the little town called Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico. And he was a border student there. And we both hooked up right away because we both loved movies. And I was making movies across the street at my house on video, little action movies. And we started shooting little movies during school. And he said, oh, you got to come back with me in the summertime and come to my town. Mexico is a great town. We can make big movies there. And I was afraid. I thought, wow, I was only like 15 years old. I don't want to go to Mexico. I might never come back. You always hear stories about those border towns. And so I actually went one summer, and it was a great town. It was like a huge movie set. He called it his back lot. And we shot for about 4 or 5 years there, little movies on video, little action movies. Every summer I would go down there and shoot a different movie on video and bring it back to Texas and cut it together on videotape. And we got a brainstorm one day. We thought, wow, these little Spanish home video action movies that they put out in the video stores are terrible. They made them for like $30,000, and they're really bad. It's just like business people shooting pseudo-action films and selling them by putting a fancy cover on them. It was a big scam because the video boom was really big, and everybody was making a movie. So we thought, we can make our own little movie and compete with that market pretty easily. We can make a movie for probably $10,000 and cut it on video and sell it. So we went back to that town and made a definitive version of all the other little Mexican action movies we had done, which always started with a stranger coming into town, something happening to him, then he left town. It was always the same story over and over. So we made a good 16-millimeter version of it, and that was El Mariachi. And it ended up going much further than we ever expected.
So you originally made El Mariachi with the idea of selling it to the Spanish-language straight-to-video market.
Yeah, I really just wanted to get practice telling a feature-length story because I'd just been making short movies up until then, and the short films were starting to win film festivals. And I thought, wow, with practice, these things have gotten pretty good, but short films are pretty much a lost art. You can't really do anything with them. If you want any respect in the industry, you got to do a feature film. So this will be a great way to get practice doing features, is make a low-budget feature for the Mexican-Spanish video market. It'll be in Spanish. No one will ever see it, so if it's no good, nobody will know it's me. There's a million Robert Rodriguezes. It'll be a win-win situation. I'll make a movie. It's better than any film school. I'll be my own crew and cast. I'll learn how to make a movie. And then the best thing is, after spending my money on the movie, I can make the money back by just selling the movie and then making a couple more. So the whole idea was to make three little mariachi movies, kind of continuing the character, do it within a year's time, cut together the best scenes out of each movie and taken it to Hollywood as a demo tape to get financing for a real first feature in English to take to festivals and maybe get an agent. You know, I was 23 years old. I was winning a lot of film festivals for my short films, and I thought, I've got time. I don't have to rush this. Let me really do my homework, learn as much as I can, because I know now that, like any art form, playing guitar or painting, practice will get you somewhere. So I'm just going to practice for a while and enjoy the process of learning and teaching myself. It didn't happen that way.
Right. Now, one of the things you did while you were making El Mariachi was to make a trailer. This is long before the film was actually completed. What was the idea behind making a trailer?
It's really a funny idea that I've used since then to great effect. And it's funny because all my friends who saw my old trailers in the old days laugh that technique works even in big Hollywood. Let me explain what happened. Usually what I would do, because I was the editor, and by the time you finish shooting, you're so tired, it's hard to get pumped up to edit together something because you've only been collecting puzzle pieces at that point. Filming is just a collection of puzzle pieces. It's not really that satisfying. It's not satisfying till you're done editing. And so what I do to get myself pumped up and to kind of figure out what the A material is I cut a trailer with the footage I've just shot. Before I start editing any scenes, I cut together the best shots in the movie, the best little pieces of action or dialogue, and make a fake coming attractions trailer, usually with good reviews that I pull off of other trailers, like Outstanding, Siskel and Ebert, two thumbs up, you know, things like that. And it's really exciting. It looks like your movie's finished. You feel like you've already accomplished something, and then you're ready for your long journey of editing. So I've been doing that since my early, early movies, and I've done it on every movie since. Now that I have a bigger crew, I sometimes 2 weeks into shooting, I'll show them a trailer already made for material that we've shot with great reviews. And it gets them very excited about the movie, makes them feel like they're working on a winner, and everyone works harder. And what I did with Desperado was at the wrap party, I showed a huge trailer, which is the exact same trailer that plays in theaters. And I showed it around to people in the industry to get them excited about the movie while I was editing. And I think Warner Brothers got a hold of it and saw it, and they cast Antonio opposite Sylvester Stallone because they realized he was an action hero. And people were calling up, actors were coming to meet with me because I had fake reviews all over that trailer, and it was making circles all around agents and studios around town. And all these actors, big actors, were coming to meet with me saying, well, you're the hottest guy in town. Everyone says that your movie's like incredible. It's already got great reviews and everything. It just goes to show everyone believes exactly what they, not many people have an original opinion, but if they see it validated by someone else, they'll go along with that opinion. And so when people saw the reviews, they thought it was okay to say, oh, this movie's incredible. It's spectacular. It's everything they saw in the fake reviews I took from some other movie.
That's really funny, you know, creating your own buzz.
Create your own buzz. It worked like a charm.
You've said that it's been really important to you to make an action film with a Latin hero. Why was that so important to you?
I just grew up, growing up Latin, never seen anything but your own representation as being just the bad guy who gets shot in 2 seconds and falls down dead by the hero. I just thought when I saw John Woo movies and Hong Kong films, when I saw those movies, I thought, wow, I'm going to be Chinese. If I saw Year of the Dragon or a movie we made here about the Chinese, that's the last thing you would want to be. So I realized that it was a lot about heroism and how you show the heroics and how someone is portrayed on the screen that makes your image of that person. So I thought I'd like to do that with Latins so that people are watching something like Desperado and thinking, wow, this guy's amazing. I want to be Latin. So you never hear that. We're always the bad guys. So I thought it would be just a fun thing to do. It was to give an action film a different heat, a different personality, a different rhythm. Would be to shoot it with a mostly Latin cast in Mexico with Latin heroes and Latin villains and see what happened.
Yeah, I think the stock image of the Mexican in the Western is the kind of guy who's saying, "What's the matter, gringo? You have a problem?"
You got a problem? I'm drinking my tequila. I'm going to rape your women. All that kind of stuff.
Precisely.
It's where our bad guys are guys like Cheech and Tito, and it's just guys you like kind of hang out with. You can tell they're just stuck in this post-NAFTA society, and they all got to become drug dealers or they can't survive.
The studios now seem to be actively scouting for young independent filmmakers and recruiting them to make major motion pictures. And that's great. On the other hand, let me share my concern about it and my worries about people like you and Quentin Tarantino. I'm just afraid that once you get kind of scooped up in the studio system and make major motion pictures, that maybe you'll lose some of the freedom that you have to make more idiosyncratic movies.
Right. Well, here's the good news: is that there's a new niche we just created that didn't exist before, like I said, and that's making big movies for less. I mean, Pulp Fiction is a big movie, but he made it for $8 million and was able to keep a lot of creative freedom, and he'll have even more freedom now. I mean, he had Final Cut. He got to make a movie that was 2.5 hours long, and mainly because of the budget. If he had done it the Hollywood system way, it would have cost $30 or $40 million. He wouldn't have had any of that freedom, and it would not necessarily look any bigger than it does now, but he certainly would have to give a lot up. Desperado was also something that competes with other movies that are action films in the summer that start at $50 million and go on up, and I made it for $7 million so that I could keep all the creative control, make a movie with Latin actors playing Latin characters rather than Latin characters played by American actors painted brown with accents, and got to have just a lot of freedom and control because they were not risking as much money, and it becomes financial at a certain point. And those were the two niches before. We're making really low-budget independent films that not many people would see, or bigger-budget films that get wide distribution that you have to compromise a lot on. Our movies we don't have to compromise anything on because they're not made for anything in Hollywood terms. They're made very cheaply, yet they look big, they can sell them big, they can put them out big, and it's a new niche that exists now. And that's kind of like where we like to live and stay.
Are you prepared to turn down a really big budget if and when you're offered it?
I have turned down big budgets already. They've been offering me stuff since after Mariachi, and there's no point. I mean, I realize I like my niche better. It's one we created and one that works well for us, and there's no point in making a big budget movie because at that point, there's so many producers spending money incorrectly. Money's being wasted. You don't really have a big budget at all. You're still making a low budget movie. It's just people are getting a lot of the money that shouldn't be getting the money. I like keeping control of that, producing my own picture for less and putting all that money on the screen. I mean, $7 million, that's a lot of money if you spend it correctly. In Hollywood, it's nothing because they spend it incorrectly.
Robert Rodriguez is the director of Desperado. He directed one of the stories in the forthcoming film, Four Rooms, and his new memoir is called Rebel Without a Crew. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.